direction you're moving that counts. What direction we're moving in that counts. We could be standing in a good place, but moving in the wrong direction, that's not good. But where you're moving is what is important. And tonight, I'm thinking of somebody that was always moving with the gospel. He was always on the move, and that is the Apostle Paul. And I'd like to ask you to turn to Acts 16, and I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3 of Acts 16 tonight. 1 through 3 of Acts chapter 16. And it says there, "Then came he," speaking of the Apostle Paul, "to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." Now, what I want to preach to you on tonight is this idea of discipleship. This individual was a disciple. His name was Timotheus. He was a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his mother was a believer. We know his grandmother was a believer. We know that Paul had preached there in his first missionary journey. Timothy became a believer himself. And so Paul is now on his second missionary journey, moving with the gospel. And he notices Timothy and the good reputation Timothy had. He had a testimony. By the way, you have a testimony, and people are watching you. Amen? And your testimony is very, very important. Timothy had a good testimony in two different places in the local area there, and that's what we need to have. But tonight, my sermon is, when we think of what discipleship and moving, it's move away from your mule discipleship. Move away from your mule discipleship. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, move away from the wrong kind of discipleship by choosing the right model for your ministry. We used to have something in this church that is popular, has been popular in many churches. Notice Acts 16, verse 1 says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus." So the word disciple is used, and discipling people is often used, and we used to have that. And I used to think about our discipleship, and what we would do is we would have groups in the church, and we split the whole church membership into groups. And outside of our Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday, we would have a meeting. And a certain leader would be over that group, and he had studied and learned certain doctrines, and he was to teach those doctrines to that discipleship group, maybe have a refreshment and so forth and so on. And that was called our discipleship ministry. But you know what I call it now? I call it mule discipleship. And you say, well, why was it mule discipleship? Well, because if you have a horse and a donkey and they mate, what comes from a horse and donkey that mates? It's a mule. But a mule can't reproduce itself. It just is a mule. And that's what was true of these discipleship groups. They were mule discipleship groups. In other words, there was no reproducing of new disciples going on. Because we were not marching on the gates of hell. We were not going, like it says in the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel. We weren't doing that. We weren't baptizing new converts and training them to go out and win others to Christ. So we had a mule discipleship, and I would call these groups mule groups. And we did that for quite a period of time, and it was just meeting around the word and around certain doctrines, and it was not something God was blessing. Now you say, what are you talking about? The Bible says if you're going with the gospel and you're confronting people with the claims of Jesus Christ, like Paul was doing here in the book of Acts, and like he wanted Timothy to do with him, if you're doing that, my friend, God is with you. You know God is with you. It says, go, teach all nations the gospel, lead them to Christ, and then baptize the converts, and then train them to do what you've done. And when you're doing that, he says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he says the last thing, he gives you a promise. And one of the men tell me, if you're doing that, what is the promise that the Lord gives you there?
Lo, I am with thee always.
Amen. Lo, I'm with thee always. And what that means is if you don't fly, he'll be with you. No, I'm just kidding. Lo, I'm with thee always. If you're with this great commission, the Lord will be with you. Now, we know he's with us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't bring us. But there's a way in which the Lord will be with you. I think of King David before he became a king. Saul was jealous of David. You know why? Because the Lord wasn't with Saul. The Lord wasn't with Saul. You know why? Because Saul left God. He wasn't obedient to God. So the Lord was with David. He was helping David. And I'm saying that the Lord is with a soul winner. The Lord is with a soul winning pastor. The Lord is with a soul winning deacon. The Lord is with you when you're moving with the Great Commission. We weren't doing that with mule discipleship. And I said, we need to scrap that. And we need to get productive discipleship, the right kind of discipleship. And therefore, it was not the kind of discipleship that Timothy received in Acts 16. I'm saying mule discipleship was not what Timothy received in Acts chapter 16. And what happened to me was that as I was seeking God for the book of Acts, I was seeking God for a church that God was with and the power of God was with us. God led me to some preachers across this country, independent fundamental Baptist preachers that were doing the Great Commission. And they weren't treating it like so many preachers did, as a piddling commission. They were treating it as the Great Commission, and they were examples and models for the flock. And when people followed them, they became aggressive, confrontational soul winners. And I began to get encouraged that, yes, I want that. I want it here in Scranton. I want it here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And the Apostle Paul, he went out from the Antioch church. And the Antioch church had been planted, get this, by Great Commission disciples that came out of the Jerusalem church. And they were given the gospel not just to Jews, but to Gentiles. Listen, we got to get out of our comfort zone and go up to people and give them the gospel. Just tonight, I saw a carload of young people in their 20s, and girls and guys never talked. I came right up to them, and I said, hey, can I talk to you? Can I give you this? And I began to talk, and that's when this whole thing opened up. And this girl told one of the guys, she said, hey, roll up your window. He was trying to flirt with her. Roll up your window. I'm talking to him. I'm venting on him. And she was talking to me, and it was just the opportunity. And then they all said, Pastor, pray for us. The guys and the girls, Pastor, we need prayer. And you know, they were telling on one another, he needs prayer, he needs prayer. And then they said, we all need prayer. And they just had death. They just seen a guy in their family and a friend that got shot in the head. I'm just saying, I wouldn't have seen that had I not been moving with the gospel. If you're not going with the gospel, you're in a spell. Take the go out of gospel and you got spell. I don't want to be under a spell. The New World Order wants you in a spell. They want you just mesmerized and in a spell. And they want you drugged up and messed up. God says, no, he wants us going with the gospel. And so this is the kind of discipleship that Paul would invite Timothy to have. Paul went out from the Antioch church, and that church was planted by the Jerusalem church. And what kind of disciples did the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem had? Well, Brother Jesse, I can say it wasn't mule discipleship going on there, because they were going with the gospel. And it says of the Jerusalem church, Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm challenged by that. Amen? I'm challenged by that daily. And then it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad. Who was that? Not the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. It was the members of the church. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That means that they were going up to people and they were asking them the two brief spiritual questions. Amen. They were asking them. And they were asking them. And I did that tonight to a guy. I was asking him the two brief spiritual questions. And I gave him the gospel. And I remember, you say, well, Pastor, where'd you get those two brief spiritual questions? Well, I remember years ago, I'm not a Presbyterian. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. But I remember hearing of this Presbyterian church years ago, about the same time that I was meeting these independent fundamental Baptist churches. And I remember hearing about a pastor in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And he had a church of just, I don't know, 19 people, 20 people, something like that. And it grew to many, many thousands of people. And that's not like a Presbyterian church. And I said, I'm going to find out what's going on there. And they had something going on there called Evangelism Explosion. How many have heard of Evangelism Explosion? And I remember I said, I'm going to go down there. And I'm going to see what's going on there, because it doesn't sound like mule discipleship there, you know. And the pastor of that church, his name was D. James Kennedy, and he was invited. He had a church that wasn't growing. Nobody was getting saved. Nobody was having their life changed. And he was invited by a man that he went to seminary with to have special meetings. And he'd taken evangelism courses in seminary and knew all about how to give the gospel and all that, he felt. And so he went there to this pastor, friend of his, and the friend said, hey, let's go out and evangelize. Let's tell people how to get saved. And he's like, okay. And he was the guest speaker, so he went out with the pastor. And the pastor's like giving him the opportunity to lead, and even though he'd had classes, he didn't know how to speak to people. He didn't know how to lead into the gospel. And Brother Joe's got an airplane. If you don't know how to take off, you're in trouble. If you don't know how to land, you're in trouble. He didn't know how to take off or land when it came to giving people the gospel. He'd never experienced it before. And finally, that pastor that had invited him had to take over for D. James Kennedy, James Kennedy, and lead people to Christ. And he learned by being with that pastor. Now, the pastor's name was Kennedy Smart. Kennedy Smart. And James Kennedy said, you know, I was Kennedy Dumb, and he was Kennedy Smart, and I learned. And I realized that you don't learn to be a soul winner that leads people to the Lord by just taking a class. You need to go out with somebody. And that's what is needed, because mule discipleship never goes out. It just talks about these things, talks about doctrine, and never goes out, doesn't win people to Christ. And I remember going down there to that church, and I went out with them on their Thursday night, soul winning night. And I remember doing that. I remember my wife, we had a banquet the last night. My wife came to the banquet with me to celebrate the class that we'd taken and the outreach. And James Kennedy came up to us at our table, talked to us, and we had a good time chatting with him. And that's where I got the two spiritual questions. If you were to die today and stand before God, he would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And if you were to die, that's the first one. If you were to die today, you're 100% sure you'd go to heaven. And the second one, if you were to die today and stand before God, he would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And those two questions are really good. Because a lot of Baptists will say, are you a Christian? You know? No, that's not the way to do it. They're Baptists, I'm Baptist, but they weren't doing it the best. Are you a Christian? You know? Those two questions. They're so important, and I still use them today. And you don't have to use them. You can get right into the gospel and do like Bruce does. Are you saved? And you can get right into it, you know. And it works. It works. But in a general way, that's what we teach people, to get into it. And so I'm just saying, I want you tonight, what direction are you moving in? Move away from the mule discipleship model and move into the choosing the right model for your ministry, which is what? Productive discipleship, which is going out with somebody and leading others to the Lord. All right, a second way that you can do this, the second way you could do this is by your going out with the right people. And I want you to look at Acts 16, verse 2, and then the first part of verse 3, it says, which was, speaking of Timothy, well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Look at verse 3. Him would Paul have to go forth. What are the next two words? Say it out loud. One more time, very loud. Yeah, go out with him. Notice that they're not meeting, eating, and retreating. He's taking Timothy with him. And he could take Timothy with him, because if Timothy went with him, he would be going with a confrontational soul winner. He would be going with somebody that knew how to take off the airplane, knew how to fly the plane, knew how to land the plane, knew how to lead people to Christ. And so Timothy could go with him and learn things from him that he needed to know, and he would learn doctrine as well. And Timothy, Paul told Timothy later, he said, you know my persecutions, you know my doctrine, you know my manner of life. Why? Because he went with him in productive, soul-winning type discipleship. I remember going through a trial in 2017 in my ministry, and I went on a sabbatical for a time, and I remember during that time our youth pastor, who was not then ordained — you were not ordained as a youth pastor then, he was not — but he felt called to the ministry, believed he was called to full-time preaching ministry, pastoral ministry. And I remember that, and he got the idea at that time that I'm going to go off to Bible college. Now, nothing wrong with going to Bible college. It was a good Baptist college. And he felt like that. But I prayed about it. I did not believe that's what God wanted. And I didn't believe it was God's best for him. If I believed it was God's best for him, I would have told him. So I got together with my wife and his wife and he, and we went out, and I jotted some notes down. And during that 2017 sabbatical, I met with him, and I discussed with him the best way to get trained for the ministry. And I said, it's by being with a pastor and spending time with a pastor and being discipled on the move with a soul-winning pastor. And he said, you know what? I believe what you're saying is right. And he said, I'm going to take that counsel and I'm going to follow that. And I'm going to tie in. And that's exactly what Paul wanted for Timothy. He says in verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him. And so that went on, and I heard about that, and so we got into that. And that is exactly what Paul did with Timothy. And so he stayed in our church. Brother Z stayed here in our church and went out and worked with the man of God more closely. And because we were moving out with the gospel, he didn't receive mule discipleship here. And because we were moving with the gospel, he received productive discipleship. And we also started the Sons of the Prophets Baptist College. And he was one of the first graduates to go through Sons of the Prophets Baptist College. And we brought in, guess what? By way of video, some other independent fundamental Baptist preachers like Dr. Bob Gray Sr. And these men were great soul winners. They built great churches. So they were the kind of people we wanted to have come in and influence our young preacher men for God. And all the classes were led by those that were first doing and then teaching. You know, when we went to Oklahoma, Dr. Bob Gray, I believe he quoted this verse, and he was there. Brother Zukowski got to get a picture with Dr. Bob Gray, the great church builder. And Dr. Bob Gray learned what he learned by being with a man of God. He went to Bible college, but he was with the man of God and close to the man of God. And he got the learning. And here's what he quoted. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I'll quote it. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach." Do you know so many people are teaching and then doing? But you should not look for a person to learn from that's not doing it. If they're not doing it, don't learn from it. I know so many people that have left this church and they want to be teachers. And they want to be preachers and they want to be somebody. But they've never done it.
Right.
They've never won souls to Christ and they never will win many souls to Christ. I mean, they're mainly just taking people that somebody else won and teaching them.
Right.
But that's not what God says. That's not how you learn. That's not how you build something. You find something, somebody that is doing what it says in Acts 1:1. It says, again, the former treatise of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And Brother Eric was learning from doers like his own pastor right here, from Bob Gray Sr., who was taught by a doer. And that's what we need. And it says, listen, Jesus began to do and to teach. Well, how is Jesus still doing and teaching? Jesus is in heaven, but he sent the Holy Spirit, and he works through soul winners that are committed to the Great Commission, and they're doing it. And that's the best way for you to learn. And that's what we're doing in our Bible college. We're doing that and doing the Great Commission. And it's not mule discipleship, friend. And some of you, you know, it's a blessing to get involved in this. And I want to challenge you, move away from mule discipleship and get into moving out with the gospel. God will move with you. God will bless you. And go out with somebody that's doing it. And then they're teaching. By the way, I don't want anybody teaching Sunday school that's not an aggressive soul winner. Nobody should be teaching a Sunday school class that's not an aggressive soul winner. And how do you know? If you're doing the Great Commission, you're getting people saved and baptized, and you're training others to do it. You're training others to do it. And that is what God wants, beloved. And what direction are you moving in? Maybe you're not all the way there, but what direction are you moving in? I'd like to have more Sunday school classes. I'd like to have more Sunday school teachers. We have 10 classes right now. I'd like to have 11, 12, 15, 20. Say, where are you going to put them? God will work it out. But I'd like to have more. But listen, I want the classes to be taught by those that both do and teach. And the order is right. They're doing it first. They're doing it with the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to be with you when you do that. And whenever I start to lose altitude on that, I realize, oh no, I got to get back in that plane, Brother Joe, and hit it and gain altitude. Because if I'm not doing that, I'm going to be losing altitude and moving toward mule discipleship. And I don't want mule. So move away from mule discipleship into productive discipleship by choosing the right model for ministry. And I've been talking about that. By your going out with the right people. And lastly, by your training others to do it. By your training others to do it. Now, that's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul was getting older. He was in jail. And he's writing 2 Timothy as his swan song. He was in the Mamertine prison. And he knew he was going to die shortly. He was going to have his head cut off. Amen. And so he's writing to Timothy. And here's what he says. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Why was Timothy his son? Well, he led him to the Lord. And he was his son because he learned from him like a father, like he said, like a son does from a father. And that's the way it ought to be. Spiritual children take on the characteristics of those that they choose to follow. And Timothy had done that. And what a blessing that was. Bob Gray did that. And he followed his mentor. And what an impact he's made. And there are men all over the country that have done that. And so that's what you look for. You look for others that are doing it to train you. And you should then train others to do it when you learn it. And these people should not teach others in mule discipleship if they are not winning people first by doing it themselves in confrontational soul winning. And I remember when I got a hold of the model. And I remember when I started hanging around the right people, who hung around the right people all the way back to the Acts of the Apostles, I started doing it right, and God was with me, and he blessed me, and I saw great things happen. And I remember that, after that, I picked out some people in the church that wanted to go with me, and I picked them out. I remember one guy, he graduated from Bible college, he graduated from seminary, he's a Sunday school teacher, a brilliant man, a good man. But you know what? He did not want to go out and learn how to give the gospel. It was too humbling to go through that. And he got to miss it. And we had immediate baptisms. When somebody got saved, the book of Acts says, when they made a valid profession, they were immediately baptized. And some people stumbled at that. But you know what? I said, I've got to stick with the model. I've got to stick with the model. If I lose some people, look, I had the vision. I had the big picture. I've got to stay with the model so I can teach others who will follow the model and move away from the mule discipleship. And so I started doing it, and people started going along with me. And one of the people came up to me, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I think you could teach me something." And I said, "What? Can I teach you?" He said, "You could teach me how to lead somebody to the Lord." And his name was Joe Slobodnik. And I said, "I'll come." Remember we went out together? And we went out. And Brother Joe submitted himself to take the course and to go out with the man of God and to lead people to Christ. And think of all the people, Brother Bob, that he's led to the Lord over the years. I want to override that. Bob Safford, amen. And I'm saying that's what it's all about. And that was back in the day. You know, we're going back in the 1980s, right, Brother Joe? When we did that, we're going back to the 1980s. Now we're in the new millennium, into 2023. And guess what? Here's a young guy here. And he said, "Okay, I'll go with you. I'll stay with you. I'll work with you. And I'll work with the men of God that are doing it, that we imported into our college." And he's learned that. And I'll go to conferences that will feed that and encourage that. And he and I are still going to those kind of conferences of men of God that learn from men of God, who learn from men of God all the way back to the book of Acts. And I'll tell you what, it is so encouraging for me to see this guy. And what's he doing with his time? Full-time ministry during the week. Well, Monday he's going out with Brother Jose. Tuesday, I'm just giving you a hypothetical. Tuesday, Brother Alex. Wednesday, Brother Kyle. And on and on. Jesse another day. And he's going out, especially with members of his class, his single. And what's he doing? He's taking them out soul winning with him. It's not just enough for you to go, train others. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? Paul told Timothy, and I'll give it to you again. Listen, he says, thou therefore my son. Okay, Paul taught Timothy, thou my son. He says, be strong in the grace, and then the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So you got Paul, Timothy, those that Timothy affects, and those that are affected by them. And it just keeps on going. It just keeps on going. See, I'm just saying, move away from a mule discipleship model. Move into choosing the right model for your ministry. Productive soul winning, productive discipling, that means. And number two, by going out with the right people. Go out with people that are doing it. And by your training others to do it, when you say, when should I stop training others? Well, when Brother Joe stops. When I stop. I mean, when did the Apostle Paul stop? Last I checked, he was doing it right to, as long as he could, which in his case was right till the end. I mean, I'm just telling you, beloved. This is what it's all about. And the Lord said, you'll see me with you and I'll bless you. Amen. Let's bow for prayer tonight. And we're going to have a couple of the men pray tonight. But I wonder tonight, you say, preacher,